My name is Danielle, and I am an alcoholic. I'll just go ahead and start. You know, my sobriety date is July 12th of 21. I have a home group. I have a sponsor, and I sponsor others. Actually, our home group is a fantastic women's meeting, even though I want to quit it every other month. It's on Sundays at 5 p.m. I think it's the Full Moon River. We've changed it. The location changed. It's an excellent women's meeting. Terrible name, just a personal opinion. But I came here with a plan. As an alcoholic, you know how it is when you plan something. I thought I was supposed to bring a topic, but I had to pick between the three. I can really speak on any of them. I've been around for a while. It hasn't been consistent sobriety. But with the home group, it's something, any kind of unity, really, fellowship, sponsorship, you know, it's all important. But I'm going to touch base on the home group because it's been really important to me. Katie's going to be our speaker tonight. She's my sponsor. And I'm extremely grateful for the women in this program. And it's really, like, held me together this time around. And, you know, when I came back in, I really didn't, nothing had changed. At least it didn't feel like it, right? I had an overdose. It wasn't the first time. It was devastating. I was just torn apart, and I made this women's group my home group, and it changed everything for me because there's something really important about staying consistent through the week and allowing people to see you on a consistent basis, because I'm kind of like a chameleon, and I sit in the back. You know, I sit quiet. I have a lot of self-centered fear right now just because I have low self-esteem, you know, but it holds me accountable, and when you have a home group, you got to take a service commitment. And it's a great way for people to get to know you if you're like me and you sit in the back and you don't say anything. And then anytime I did speak up at the home group, you know, I would cry. So I related with speaking, crying. So I wouldn't speak at all. I don't suggest that either. So having a home group is really important. And actually, I was thinking about talking about emotional sobriety, and it kind of just ties right into having a home group because I'm incapable of coping. And I can't do it alone. And I've tried to do it alone, and it's a very, very lonely place. And what's made me grateful are just because the women have held me together, you know. I've kind of made the women, like this home group, my higher power for a little bit. Not necessarily, like I'm developing a power greater than myself within. But because when I get into these really dark places, I mean, I just spin, you know. And when I don't pick up the phone and I let the women know where I'm at, like it's dangerous for me. And, you know, it might not happen that week, might not happen that month, or it might take years, but eventually I'll pick up because I'm incapable of dealing with my feelings, life on life's terms, you know. And the emotional piece with emotional sobriety is it gives me tools. And, like, my sponsor always has a nice way of saying it. She talks about, like, you know, you just didn't have other coping skills. And I'm like, gosh, yeah, that's true, because I always beat the shit out of myself. You know, I'm like my worst critic. And so it's important because a home group forces people to get to know me, and I take that service commitment. You know, and then I can pass that on to other women. So, but a little bit, I'll just kind of talk about like how the getting the home group and how it happened to me. You know, I ended up having the overdose, and I came back in, and the guy I was using with, he was somebody I originally got sober with. He had gone out, and so I knew he was out. I gave him a call, and I had this overdose. It scared him. This guy goes into rehab and or detox, right? He's like freaked him out. And then I came back. I stayed. He ended up going out one more time, and of course, he didn't make it, you know. And he had multiple overdoses, and he left two toddlers behind. And my sponsor just had a newborn, so when I was Baker acted, you know, by or Marchman acted, whatever it is, by this medical physician, they don't release you until you talk to the psych. And so I was in there, and I called my sponsor, and she's like, Danielle, I just had a newborn. You're going to have to do the steps again, and I'm going to have to pass you to one of my sponsees. So here I am. I lose a friend, you know, my sponsor, and then the woman I was dating walks away. So it's like I had so much loss, and that's what my life has been, you know. It's just been constant loss. And when I came back and I got this women's group as my home group, before I chose that group, Katie and two other women, I followed them around because I heard them speak. And there was something special about it. And it's not that I put anybody on a pedestal, but it's rare when you see someone in double digits sobriety and they're still involved in Alcoholics Anonymous. You just don't see it a lot. You know, a lot of people relapse after 5, 10 years for whatever reason. you know. So I followed these girls like Creeper, you know, and I would sit in the back. I wouldn't tell them because I wasn't going to be vulnerable with them. Absolutely not, you know. And but I heard them, and I was just, eventually I had asked Katie to sponsor me. She didn't have any openings, and eventually somebody left or whatever, but she said she was willing to sponsor, and that's how I kind of got tied into the home group, and it's been a fantastic group. But I can tell you, thank you. I date women, right? But I hate fucking women's meetings. It's just a really vulnerable place to be. It is. It's something you wouldn't expect. And it's like, gosh, it is really hard talking about your feelings, but talking about them like what's really going on, you know? And that was scary for me. For one, I never knew how I felt, right? I couldn't distinguish. I was just angry all the time. And I don't like when I don't get what I want, you know? I don't like when I don't feel good. And that's where, like, I don't have coping skills. I start acting out, whether it's a relationship, whether it's money, whether it's using, relapse, it didn't matter, right? I'm acting out and they're in unhealthy ways, you know, and being with these women, they've told me the truth about myself, and it has saved my life. And I didn't think something so simple would have such a drastic effect. Sometimes I'm too far dependent on like a group or people outside of me or circumstance. But you know, one thing I do want to leave off on this is I wish everything happened the way it was supposed to, right? I made decisions and I relapsed and I suffered the consequences, and I'm just grateful that I had the opportunity to make it back. But what I'm beginning to see is there's a very common theme. Like, you know, I stay involved, I'm honest, I'm very honest about where I am, and it's extremely uncomfortable because I have an image and I have low self-worth and I don't want people to see me for who I really am. But honesty, willingness, and just showing up, and like everything else unfolds naturally, you know? It's when I need to stay out of it and stop making decisions because I'm in fear. But one thing I've seen is everything is temporary, and I had no idea because I would leave before the miracle would happen. So if there's like anybody that's struggling, maybe you're coming back, maybe, you know, you have double digits, you know, and you're going through a really hard time, or, you know, or you're a chronic relapser like I was, you know, there is hope. I mean, I just can't do it alone. And if I'm not telling people where I'm really at, then I'm in trouble. And I get to learn who I am and what I am by taking the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I think, you know, all the topics and having a home group is really critical, because I always was suggested that I go to a 12 and 12, a big book, and a speaker's meeting. And they said, at least keep 3 consistent meetings throughout the week so people get to know you. And I've always kept that. I was actually, Katie had asked me to lead. I thank you. I appreciate you guys allowing me to be of service. But I was literally at 3:30 this afternoon laying horizontally in my bed in fucking pajamas. Don't tell my boss. But Katie's like, hey, are you going to a meeting tonight? And I was like, no, I went to a meeting like all week. You know what I mean? So tonight was like my chill night. And she goes, oh, okay. Well, she doesn't tell me why she was asking me. And I'm like, why? What's up? Like, she's like, I'm speaking. I'm like, well, why didn't you fucking say something, you know? So I was like, yeah. And then, I mean, the whole lead thing could have been left out. But I've always been, you know, never say no to Alcoholics Anonymous. Unless it's like you're asked to speak multiple times. It's like this whole ego trip, which I don't think I'll ever have a problem with. Yeah, I'm grateful to be here, because they always said when somebody's speaking, you come to support your group, you know, and that's what we do, no matter how many times we've heard them speak. So I'm very grateful for my sobriety, and not to put Katie on the spot, but I love you very much. I am extremely grateful for women like Katie who have done the work. They're valuable just like me. She bleeds just like I do, you know, but I get to see her walk through these things, and she's humble. Like, she's honest, you know? Like, I mean, everything else will work itself out. Whether there's something I don't believe that she says, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant, you know? When somebody stays clean and sober and they do the work, it shows. I mean, they help a lot of women, and they stick around, and that's a hard thing to do, to stay consistent in here, because life can be pretty fucking shitty. So, that's it. Thanks.